They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season with leaves that do not wither. Please be seated and pick your prayer books back up again. Page 585, that was the psalm appointed for the day, and I'm going to be talking about it, so it might be good for you to have it in front of you. 585. Trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season. The psalmist is painting this beautiful picture for us this morning, and I want you to try to have that image in your mind of a tree planted by a stream, a flourishing tree, green, growing, bearing fruit. Pick your favorite fruit that's hanging from the tree. It's your imagination. You can choose whichever one you want, even if it doesn't grow on a tree. Put it on there in your head. The tree offers shade in the heat of the day, shelter from a storm, life-giving sustenance. It is planted, right? It's deeply rooted there. The psalmist is asking us to imagine ourselves in that way. How do we get there? There's a very simple dichotomy playing out in this psalm. The wicked do this and the blessed ones do this, right? And the psalmist is telling us that we can figure out the pathway, how we can enjoy happiness, joy, by learning from God, by listening to God's word, and also, importantly, by ignoring the wicked who will lead us astray. Instead, being more prayerful and dedicated to the word of God, the psalm asks us to meditate on the law day and night. And not just meditate on the word of God, delight in it. Did you get that part? We will find joy, happiness there, and in doing so, we are becoming like that tree, putting down deeper and deeper roots, but also being like that tree, offering shade for those who need it, and shelter for others, and fruit that gives life. Beautiful green leaves that are not withered or dry, but instead they are blossoming and sustaining. Biblical scholar John Holbert talks about this psalm this way. He reminds us that meditating on the law is nothing about studying rules and commandments. This is what it meant to a Hebrew person to hear those words. To delight in Torah, to ponder Torah, is to swim in the vast ocean of God's love and of God's commands to God's people. To meditate on Torah leads one automatically to the prophets and their call for justice for all people, their demand for righteousness in all things. It's not just studying what Moses gave us in the commandments. It's so much more than that. To muse on Torah, Holbert says, leads one to the stories of Genesis, to God's choice of the flawed Abraham and Sarah, to the wily Jacob and Rebekah, to the arrogant Joseph. He says to ponder Torah is to read of the reluctant Moses, the charismatic and murderous David, and the heroic Job, who discovered a God he thought he knew but did not. Those who delight in Torah, who love it, who revel in it, have no time or interest in wickedness or sinning or scoffing. That's a whole different way to think about meditating and delighting in the law, isn't it? We need that time, folks. We all do. And we must claim that time for ourselves to meditate on God's word so that we can stay grounded beside the living water. We see some of this in the first lesson from Acts. The disciples have to choose a replacement for Judas after he betrayed Jesus. And they needed someone that they could trust. Someone who, like them, had been planted by that water. Someone who could bear fruit. Strange and difficult times were just ahead for them. Jesus has ascended into heaven, but Pentecost hasn't happened yet. They're in that in-between time, and they are responsible for this new thing. They're birthing the Christian church, this new way of understanding and following God. And for that to make it, to have a chance, they all needed to be people grounded in prayer and dedicated and delightful in the word that Jesus had given to them. For it was up to these 11 plus the one they're going to select to pass down what Jesus had done, teach who he was, repeat what he had taught, talk about the stories and the miracles and the lessons and examples. And above all, it says in that passage, talk about we saw him resurrected from the dead. We are eyewitnesses to that. It was all going to depend on them. And it would be the hardest task they could imagine. Yet they have these deep roots and they're going to be given the Holy Spirit. And we have a chance to have the exact same things at our own disposal, to delight in the word given through Jesus Christ to sustain them and sustain us for the journey. Now, one other thing to say about that passage, I was at the Montessori Taste of Spain event Friday night. It's a big fundraiser for them, and it includes a lot of raffle ticket stuff. And I was sitting there with one of the parents from the school, and he said, "You know, Father, is it really okay to have raffle tickets in the church? Isn't that kind of gambling?" I said, "Come to church Sunday, and then you hear how they selected the 12th disciple, casting lots." So, yeah, we've been rolling dice in the church for a really long time. I'll say something. I've said this to many of you before. Often my sermons are for me, and you just have to listen. But I'm observant of this. We knew a good while back that this spring and early summer here at St. Simon's will be pretty intense. We had the usual Lenten activities. We had this amazing Holy Week and Easter. We hosted the Diocesan Discipleship Day right after that. We welcomed the bishop 2 weeks ago for his annual visit, and we had that special time of renaming the chapel in his honor. Last week, we had youth in Beckwith Sunday, and we get to hear from our graduates and celebrate them with a beautiful breakfast. Next week is Pentecost, the birth of the church, and also the day we're going to recognize the amazing ministry of Father Jack's Kitchen. Our Jules and Jean's fundraiser is coming up in mid-June, and right after that, we welcome our new curate who will join us in the last week of June. This church has been and will continue to be very busy. And in addition to all that, we are in a season where we are with too great a frequency saying goodbye to beloved parishioners who have made the transition from this life to the next. A lot going on, and I have three things to say about all that. First is this: you are amazing. You are. You rise up. That's a quote someone at the vestry said at the last vestry meeting. We just rise up to the occasion time and time again. Feed the need and packing those meals for 151,000 meals for hungry children in Okaloosa County. This church is the lead ministers for that, and many of you took part in that and worked so hard for such an amazing cause. We rise up to feed teachers at Teacher Appreciation Day this past week at Elliott Point over and over again. Every person I meet in the diocese who came here for Discipleship Day just had wonderful praise for how well you welcomed and hosted everyone there. Youth Sunday was glorious, and those youth who are part of it, you just took such good care of them, and you loved on them and wished them well. The bishop's visit was one we won't soon forget, I don't think. And of course, Holy Week and Easter Day were just so filled with spirit and joy. From the sunrise service to the last service, we definitely knew that Jesus was risen indeed, and it's all because of what you do. You continue to do the work you're called to do, to offer yourself, offer your gifts in service of others. You are amazing people. Second thing, there's danger in busyness. We must always be aware of that. If we are so busy accomplishing so much that we forget to be planted, to be rooted, to be beside refreshing water that gives life, to delight in the Word of God, then it is easy for us individually and corporately to lose our way. And this is so much more for me as it is for any of you, but it's something I think we all must pay attention to. The Word of God today tells us meditate on the Word day and night. That's how you avoid the wicked. Check the fruit that you are producing. Is there delight in it? Are you smiling while you're doing these things? Is there joy? Is there happiness? If not, why not? We have to take some time sometimes and think and pray about that. All of us. Me in particular. And the third thing I'll say about that, well, Jesus actually is going to say it to you this morning from our gospel passage. We find our Lord in this reading today in the middle of what's called in the Gospel of John the high priestly prayer, or Jesus' farewell discourse. In this section of the Gospel of John, Jesus is in prayer, and we get to hear the prayer. He is praying for the benefit of his disciples, not just the 12, for all disciples, everyone that follows Jesus. That includes you and I. And it is the last chance, the last hurrah. Jesus knows what's coming next. As soon as he finishes this time with them, he will be arrested in the garden, and he will be taken off to die on the cross. This is his last chance to teach and form and shape and help them. And he takes that time to pray. And in that prayer, he's doing just that. And this is immensely important to the disciples and also for us as followers of Jesus Christ. And so we need to listen to these words and kind of settle in to this teaching and absorb and learn and perhaps change with these last earthly words of Jesus Christ. Now, if you examine that passage in the gospel, you will see something very interesting, I think. There's one word which is used over and over by Jesus, and that word is give, or gave, or given, some derivative of give. Did you see that? Over and over again. Jesus prays to God, saying, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me. They were yours, and you gave them to me. Everything you've given me is from you, and I gave them those words that you gave me. And I ask on behalf of those whom you gave me because they're yours. Protect them in your name. I've given them your word. Over and over again, we hear the emphasis that all Jesus is and all Jesus has was given to him by God Almighty. And all of that from God Almighty, Jesus in turn has given to all who follow him. That's us. They were yours and you gave them to me and I've given them your word. That helps us stay planted, my friends. This is good news. It's news you and I are not only encouraged, but required to share in some way with others. And the best way to share it is by the fruit that we produce. My brothers and sisters, there is, of course, one other aspect of all this giving, and that is receiving. That's hard sometimes. Jesus says in that prayer, the disciples know the truth because they have received the word from God that was given to them. We have to do the same. We have to receive the gifts given to us, the blessings that are given to us. I can tell you that was one of the hardest lessons for my parish on the coast of Mississippi after Katrina. So many people came and wanted to offer their gifts and to give us so much, and we had to learn to receive what was given. We couldn't do these things ourselves, but it's hard for us sometimes to allow people to bless us, right? To accept a gift, to allow people to practice their own gift giving themselves, to let it go and receive it because it's a blessing from God. For us to settle into the truth of God's word, we have to receive what has been freely given into our heart and into our soul and into our mind and live knowing what has been given to you and for you. And Jesus says something pretty cool happens if we can do that. Jesus says, they have received your words. Now let my joy be complete in them. So we've gone full circle. That delight in meditating on the word, the joy from the word that Jesus has given to us. If we receive what has been given, what God gave us for Jesus and Jesus to give us the word, that is what allows the joy of Jesus Christ to be complete in us. Receive it. Because in that joy that becomes complete from Jesus is rest for the weary, and it is deeply planted roots next to living water away from the wicked who want to lead us astray. In that is hope and blessing and life, and we've all been given it. We just have to receive it. I hope you see that. I pray you will receive the word and the love and that you know the complete joy of Christ within you. There's happiness and blessing and fruit and shelter and shade offered for us all. Let's not be so busy we miss it. Let's be truly grounded in this life-changing joy that's been given to us all. It's pretty cool, isn't it? The joy of Christ is there for all of us. Just take it. Amen.